Hey, what's up, everybody? Coach Mike here. This is an Ask Me Anything session, and we cover the full gamut of questions here, literally everything from recommended gym equipment for swim training and building speed, USRPT training, when to seek medical attention with injury, etc. What if you dislike using a pull buoy? Pro tips for getting back into the water after an extended hiatus, and then identifying or how to identify your ideal stroke rate. So check it out. This episode is jam-packed. Welcome to the Swim Squad. This is Mike Jotatis. I'm your host, and this is the Swim Squad podcast for distance swimmers, triathletes, and open water swimmers. This podcast is an extension of our location-based swim coaching program in Louisville, Kentucky called Swim Smooth Louisville, where it's our mission to help swimmers of any level become a better swimmer. And now, because of podcasting, we can also reach you wherever you are in the world and help you become a better swimmer. The world needs great swim coaching and stories that inspire action, and that's our mission. To bring great swim coaching and inspirational stories that will ignite your inner athlete. Here's today's episode. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas. I'm trying to be as festive as I can right here with my Santa hat. But let's rock and roll. So the agenda here is we're gonna answer some questions from a lot of folks, everything from gym equipment to use, shoulder injury prevention, USRPT training, ultra short race pace training is what that means. And if you've been out of the water for a little while, I have some suggestions for you if you're planning to get started back in January. So let me follow along with my notes here, and we'll kick it off with my friend Sean down in the New Orleans area. He asked specifically, what gym equipment would you recommend for swim training? Or what gym equipment would you recommend to get stronger and faster? Okay, so just to be more specifically here. So this is my opinion. I'm not a personal trainer, but I have done plenty of strength training for swimming. You can get away with, if you're looking for gym equipment specifically, I'll kind of give you what I think is just kind of like the bare minimums. So you can kind of go minimalist here. But some equipment that would be very, very helpful other than just relying on body weight, for example. So here we go, Sean. I would recommend first a bench, or like for bench pressing. You can have like the rack for the bench press if you have a barbell. For that, but just a bench that you could lean on, you could put your feet up on, that would be helpful. So start with a bench for elevating your feet or for bench press, for example. A squat rack, that would be handy to have for front squats, back squats, etc. That's a big piece of equipment, but if you want to get strong, working the squats and having that rack would be very beneficial. For that, you obviously want to have a bar. You know what I'm going to do? I think my screen is freezing, so we're just going to say heck with that, and let's switch over here. Okay, this should be better. So you want the bar for squats, front squats. So we're talking like the big time, the big daddy 45-pound bar, and then you're going to want weights for those. So if you've done any, I'm sure any gym, CrossFit gym, et cetera, they're going to have the weights that are kind of like rubber bumpers, like those. So you're going to want those if you want to invest in that. A variety of dumbbells of varying weights. I'll talk about in a minute here where Chrissy asked about, or she suggested some shoulder injury prevention exercises using very, very light weights. So you might want a variety of just free weights, okay? Dumbbells, for example, from very, very light, like 2.5, 5 pounds, all the way up to maybe a 55 or 60 pound free weight. A pull-up bar and bands such as the Bandit Body Band, like you may have seen me show or demonstrate with my friend Adam He's actually the founder of that company, Bandit Body. Bands of varying tension that you could use for strength training, injury prevention, a variety of exercises there. Again, if you want me to show you the warm-up routine that utilizes those bands, you'll have an idea of what those bands look like. And I can show you where to find, how to order those bands too. Okay, so Sean, I hope that helps as far as like gym equipment for getting stronger and faster. I think generally you want to think of your, I mean, we're all swimmers in here or triathletes, but we're all athletes as well. So you want to maintain a balance of good all-around strength, right? Core strength, being able to just simply do a squat, okay, with proper form. So I don't recommend just throwing a barbell on your shoulders or a front squat right away. You're going to want to be able to do that correctly without any weight, okay? So getting with a trainer or somebody who can watch your form, I highly, highly recommend until maybe you know what you're doing. Okay, so you want to think of yourself just as an athlete, and you want to be strong, just all around in general. So I had pull-up bar on there. You should be able to do a pull-up, at least one pull-up. So that's just kind of my brief rundown on gym equipment for you there, Sean. Moving on to Herman here. He and I kind of bantered back and forth a little bit. But he asked, now disclaimer, I am not a medical professional, and I'm going to talk about some suggestions. And you can go into our Facebook post here from Herman, and lots of other people chimed in with other suggestions, okay? So I'm not making any medical recommendations or anything, but Herman said, when do you seek medical attention for things such as sports-induced asthma, shoulder injuries, chlorine sensitivities? To be perfectly honest, when in doubt, check it out. Like, go see a professional. Go see a doctor. If it's chlorine sensitivities, you know, there may be an allergy there. So you might need to get a referral to a specialist, an allergist or something like this, right? But yeah, see a professional. When should you seek medical attention? Well, I think kind of like the clue there is, if you think you should see a professional, then you should probably go see a professional. Try not to refer to Dr. Google. Now, Herman also said that he's been dealing with some shoulder pain, some inflammation, and he's using, I guess, an herbal supplement. I'm not familiar with very many herbal supplements at all, but he was using one called turmeric. And I did do the Google search on turmeric a little bit, and it does seem to have some anti-inflammatory. It helps as an anti-inflammatory, an antioxidant, other things. That I looked at, I'm not even going to go there. You can Google turmeric, okay? But if it is an anti-inflammatory, based on Herman's response there, he says it has been helping him with his shoulder pain. So if it has some sort of like anti-inflammatory properties, then perhaps that's helping, okay? And then later on in Herman's question there, Chrissy chimed in with some shoulder exercises, which are very, very simple, that can be done with a band or a very, very, very light weight. And there's a couple little picture demonstrations of those exercises. So shoulder injury prevention would be kind of like, as swimmers and triathletes here, one thing that we want to always be doing is preventing those injuries. So those exercises that you showed in there, Chrissy, would be great preventative exercises, which would take like 5 minutes of your day every day. You know, you could do that during your morning, wake up routine or something like that. You know, just it's preventative exercises that can continue to keep your shoulders healthy and strong, and continue to support the activities that we're doing through swimming, open water swimming, biking, running, etc. Okay. So check those out as well. If you want some suggestions, or we just added Coach Karen Reynolds, we just added to our Swim Squad Academy program, and she went over and above, far and beyond, delivering a whole gamut of shoulder injury preventions, like routine and exercises with demonstrations, et cetera, et cetera. So that is currently inside of the Swim Squad Academy. And if you want some more information on that, just pop the word academy into the comments here, and I can tell you a little bit more about it. If you got a couple of emails recently, you probably have read about it. Now let's move on a little bit more here. So we answered Herman's question. This was a great question. So Mia asked about, what are your thoughts on USRPT training? I've got mixed feelings, she says. So USRPT training that's an acronym for ultra short race pace training. So I would almost throw this question back to you, Mia, is just kind of what's been your experience? What have you seen? To my recollection, I believe you are an endurance coach as well. And ultra short race pace training is what it claims to be here is if you're training for ultra short distances, i.e. 50 meters, 100 meters, maybe up to 200 meters, and I'll explain in a second, that might be a beneficial training protocol for you. But this all comes down to training specificity. So for the most part, I think in here inside of our group here, we are endurance athletes, right? So we're talking long distances. So to be perfectly honest, to train for short race pace distances really has no benefit. I would recommend that every second or fourth week in your swim training, you might substitute one of your workouts and make it kind of like a pure sprint workout. But that's only to continue developing kind of like your top end speed, okay? Which will help pull up your threshold speed, et cetera, okay? So you can't necessarily neglect your top end, your sprint speed. But I had the opportunity a couple of years ago here in Louisville, there's an American swimmer currently, his name is Michael Andrew. He was here in Louisville for a competition, which was taking place at the University of Louisville. It was kind of like a Grand Prix event type of deal. But his father, Peter, is his coach, and they almost have, I think, are seen as kind of pioneering this ultra short race pace training and sort of implementing or having Michael utilize exclusively this type of training for his competition. So I had the chance to watch them actually do a session, but the gist of this training would consist basically of something like this. So your workout would be, let's just say that day you're going to do 50 meter repeats and you are targeting your like personal best pace for 50 meters every single repeat until you fail to hit that time, until you fail to hit the standard, okay? And then the premise is you would take an extended period of rest or an extended rest interval, and then you would start over, or basically you would continue to try and do, you would continue doing those repeats until failure again. And then I think it's one more time, which is kind of how the training protocol works, is you would reach failure twice. On the third time, your workout is over for the day. But we're talking 50 meter repeats with probably a minute rest, so almost a full recovery, and they are maximum effort, all out, top end speed. Okay, through some observation and just watching him over the years, and I really haven't followed him within the last 8 to 12 months, but I do believe he races the 200 meter or yard IM, for example, which is still a fairly quick event. But I've heard from other coaches also that trying to bridge that gap from that super short distance race, 50, 100 meter, for example, to the 200, it's just so specific to that short distance that even bridging the gap to a middle distance event like 200, 400 meter freestyle, isn't reasonable, right? Or it isn't logical, right? You're 100% focused on that top end maximal effort, and which means you automatically give up your endurance, okay? So as far as USRPT training goes for us folks here in the group, open water swimmers, distance swimmers, triathletes, in my opinion, you know, it comes down to training specificity, and this is not how we specifically want to train. We want to definitely be doing more endurance training, lactate threshold training, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. But I would ask you, Amiya, what you've read up on it. I don't follow that training protocol, or the developments in that training protocol. Mary Margaret asked, everyone seems to love swimming with a pool boy. But I feel I'm really fighting the water when I swim. Oh, let me get it. I feel like I'm really fighting the water when I swim with one. I do have a tendency to overglide. Maybe I should increase my stroke rate when I use a pool boy. So I love this question. This is great. If you've been a follower of Swim Smooth, you know that Swim Smooth has the swim types system. So they have a swim type that they call the quote kicktastic. And typically this swim type or this swimmer, and this would be a follow-up question for you, Mary Margaret, is tell me a little bit about your swimming background. The textbook kicktastic would have perhaps come from a swimming background. Maybe you swam in a summer league swim team or a club swim team, high school swim team, when you were younger, and then you had like a long hiatus until maybe you picked swimming back up when you got older. But typically what is representative of the kicktastic is a stroke that is more rear wheel drive driven. So in other words, you tend to rely on your kick. I'm not saying you, Mary Margaret, but the kicktastic relies on the kick quite a bit. And if you feel like you are overgliding a little bit, what naturally happens in this instance, and this goes for anybody, is the tendency is typically for your feet to kick so that you don't lose speed or momentum. So the minute you start to overglide, you decelerate. And what happens is just innately, we start to kick more to make up for that dead spot that winds up occurring at the front of the stroke by overgliding. Something else that's characteristic here is an underly developed catch and pull through, perhaps. So Mary Margaret, when you take your legs out of the equation, out of your overall stroke, if you don't have a very firm catch or pull through or a very propulsive arm stroke, for example, then it's going to feel like you're way off balance, and you know, it's just going to feel really weird, or like you don't have any speed, you can't keep up with the rest of the group, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So the way we go about correcting this or helping you not necessarily get used to using a pull boy, it's not critical, but we want to begin work on developing front end of your stroke. So if you think of yourself as a vehicle, a car, for instance, if you tend to rely on your legs a lot, you are a rear wheel drive vehicle. Okay. So as swimmers in general, because the kick is very ineffective at propulsion, we want to develop a more propulsive, or at least the best and most propulsive catch, pull through stroke at the front end as possible. So we want to turn you more into a front wheel drive vehicle, if that makes sense. So that could be the issue, Mary Margaret, why you just really struggle with a pull boy. There's a lady in our local squad, Jennifer, who she experiences the exact same thing. And if you were to watch her stroke now with this kind of context, you would notice that she does kick quite a bit. And that has been a pronounced kind of characteristic of her stroke for a long, long time. So we are working on, Jennifer and I are working on developing the front end of her stroke, getting maybe her stroke more balanced. You know, it's a combination of rear wheel drive and front wheel drive, okay? But in the meantime, yeah, she still does not like using that pull boy at all. Now, she does love her flippers, okay? So whenever we do those drills, you know, she loves them. So let me know if that resonates with you, Mary Margaret. And I think that would be the place to start if you dislike your pull boy. Swimmers like you may also dislike the wetsuit, okay? You may also dislike your wetsuit because it tends to make your legs very, very buoyant at the back end. It might feel like you're starting to kick air versus kick the water. So that's something else, another common thread, something common that we hear from folks who are more rear wheel drive or rear wheel driven strokes. Last question here from Crystal. I haven't been in the water in a few months. What should I do now to be ready for squad sessions and regular swim workouts starting in January? Assuming you're going to say, get in the water and just swim. Okay, she's assuming that. Do you have any other pro tips or motivation? You nailed it there, Crystal. You just got to get in. You just got to get started. Some other things or a pro tip here would be don't wait until your first swim session, especially if it's a squad session, to check your gear. Check your goggles, your swim cap, your swimsuits. Maybe they've been sitting in a bag for several months and dry rotting. And if you don't check it before getting to the pool or with enough time to maybe go out and replace a pair of goggles because they dry rotted, then you don't want to show up at the pool deck, whether it's for a squad session or even just yourself. You know, you've budgeted time to start swimming again. You've got 1 hour to fit in after work and before you need to be home to start cooking dinner for the family or whatever it is. And then you get there to realize your goggles don't work, your swimsuit is stretched out or dry rotted or, you know, whatever. Okay, so check your swim gear. That'd be my pro tip, you know, alongside of just get in the water and get started and just, you know, just play around the first few sessions. So you're coming to our squad sessions here locally starting on January 5th. Between now and then, it's December 20th, we've got 15 days to, I would aim to get in the water, like six times, and just get in and splash around and play. How's that sound? All right. And then you can test out all your gear and make sure you got everything. And then planning ahead, you know, plan ahead for that. My last pro tip would be this. I think I mentioned this on our last session, which was just create some accountability for yourself. So find a training partner, a training buddy, band together, and just make a pact that, okay, we're going to swim six times in the next 15 days, no matter what. And you have to hold each other accountable to it. Okay. And maybe make it super hard. Maybe make it like a 5 a.m. session or something or something like that. And you know that your partner is going to be there. Therefore, you cannot hit the snooze bar because you know there's somebody else out there relying on you to be there too. All right. So I think that's a wrap. I'm going to wrap it up right there. I'm going to see if there's any comments here. Who we've got? Man, there's so many people tuned in. So I guess I'll just say happy holidays and Merry Christmas to Jennifer and Chris and Kenneth and Erica. Jennifer, Reggie, what's up? Janine, Marcy, Karen. Linda down in Florida, Nancy, Bill, Kelly, Natalie, Stuart, Chrissy, Hannah, Stephanie, Steve, Chris. You guys are awesome. Thanks so much for joining me. If you have any questions right now and you're still tuned in, let me see if I can see who's still here live with me. I'm gonna hang out for a little bit. I hope this was helpful, you guys. I guess I'll wrap up with this. I've had a great response. Thank you to everybody who's responded to or inquired about the Swim Squad Academy. If you have any interest in that, if you're a local athlete especially, to be perfectly honest, it is like an amazing deal. Like it's a bargain. So for $97 a month, so it's basically a monthly option rather than our pay-as-you-go system that we have here for our local squads. But if you would like a little bit more over and above being able to come to a squad session two or three times per week, the academy includes 4 to 5 swim workouts per week, 1-to-1 coaching. Oh, Kenneth. Okay, I got your question here. So hold tight. I'm including a 1 hour swim lesson for you every single month. All you have to do is go into our Swim Smooth Louisville app and just book it every month. That keeps us on pace, on par with your stroke development and all this kind of stuff. So in the month of January, 4 weeks, 3 times 4, you're going to have access to 12 squad sessions, basically unlimited squad sessions. Your account's credited with unlimited squad sessions. One hour swim lesson, and we'll do anything at that lesson, whatever's required. It could be a strategy session. It could be a video analysis session. Plus all the workouts every week, and we design a program specifically for your goals for the season. So to keep your swimming going into the new year. So if you're still interested in that, I'm going to do something crazy here. I did say that I was going to close the registration at that price, $97 a month for when the last three spots were filled, but I'm going to keep it open until December 31st at that price. So if you want to jump in on that. And, you know, basically if you right now in the last 10 days of the year, if you need some workouts to do and want to get started on some coaching, you know, if you want me in your corner, basically helping you as well as the folks already in the program, there's some accountability built into that. That program's still available. So just type, if you're watching this on Facebook, type the word Academy into the comments and I will follow up with you on applying for that and just getting the ball rolling. The price will probably go up to $150 a month, maybe more than that, starting January 1st, if you're a local athlete. If you are a remote athlete, I'm going to keep it there at $97 a month. We had a couple athletes join from other locations just this week, from Las Vegas. We have an athlete out in Washington, Washington State, et cetera. So we can do some online coaching as well. So that's it on that. I saw Kenneth ask a question here real quick. Strokes per minute. I'm doing about 70 strokes per minute. How should I plan to increase it? Kenneth, what I'm going to recommend is check out, you can just Google this, is the Swim Smooth Stroke Rate Ramp Test. The Stroke Rate Ramp Test. And what this test does is it takes you through a set of 50s or 100s, for example, and you using a Tempo Trainer Pro in the stroke rate mode, you will ramp your stroke rate up by 2 or 3 strokes per minute each and every 50. You'd want to do this with a partner, coach, or somebody to record some data to be able to time your splits, et cetera, et cetera. And then backing up a little bit, I guess, why would you want to be increasing your stroke rate up to, you said, is it realistic to aim for 80 strokes per minute? It just depends. I guess first off, why would you want to do that? And then, second of all, what the ramp test will tell you is it will tell you your ideal stroke rate. So basically what you're doing is you're matching your stroke rate against your speed and perceived effort. You know, those three factors come together. And typically, every athlete is going to have kind of like two sweet spots, we call them. One would be kind of like a lower gear stroke rate. One would be a bit of a higher gear stroke rate. But it's kind of like a meeting point to where your speed, your perceived effort, and the stroke rate feel comfortable. They all kind of mesh and click together. So I'd recommend you just Google that, the Swim Smooth Stroke Rate Ramp Test. And you can read kind of the protocol and the theory behind that. And then you can figure out what is your ideal stroke rate, whether it's 70 or somewhere between 70, 80. Typically, you see open water swimmers with higher stroke rates. And some of that is basically just to is management of the very dynamic conditions. You know, be able to muscle through and punch through waves and chop, for example. You kind of see that characteristic. The characteristic of a higher stroke rate in triathletes and open water swimmers. So I would check that out. I'm going to see if there's any other questions here. If you have any other questions, if you want some help or some guidance or something like that, again, you could look into this the Swim Squad Academy if you want some specific coaching, or shoot me an email, mike@swimsmoothlouisville.com. And happy to point you in the direction. Even just set up a very, very brief, like 15-minute phone call. Call it like a little strategy session. If you just want some help knowing where to go. Maybe you don't want to hire a coach, hire me, join a local program. But you just kind of want to know what to do next. Happy to help you. Hop on a quick 15-minute phone call. I can shoot you a link to a call schedule, and we can get that set up. So, Merry Christmas, everybody. Kenneth, thank you. I saw that. And happy holidays. I'm going to be probably off the grid a little bit. I'm headed to the Great White North to visit my family up in Canada in about a week. So it'll be after Christmas, but I'll be checking in here on social media for sure. And all things all things like that. So Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and I'll probably be seeing you, yeah, in 2020. All right, take care, everybody.
Thanks again for joining me. This is Coach Mike Jatata signing off for now. Just as a reminder, you can find me again inside our Facebook group called The Swim Squad. Just go to facebook.com/groups/The Swim Squad. If you need some help with your swimming, we have a group online coaching program called The Swim Squad Academy. Right now, if you'd like some more information on that and how to work with me personally, send me an email. Just send it to info@theswimsquad.academy. Put the word Academy in the subject line and I will respond to you personally, and we'll see if that program's a fit for you. Until next time, cheers.